The following is a duplicate of Tape 2, Side 1 of an interview with Eddie Lee, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
Miss Lee, what did you think of the Asian roles that you... Did you play Asian roles or non-Asian roles in the movies?
Asian roles.
Asian roles. What did you think about the way the Orientals were portrayed in movies? Did you think at times that it wasn't quite fair or it wasn't accurate or...
No, I think they were fairly accurate. Because usually when the studios made a Chinese picture, they usually had a... hired a technical director, and it was the technical director's job to point out to the director or the assistant director what is correct and what is incorrect, especially like the wardrobe. A lot of the American wardrobe people, they wouldn't be able to distinguish between the men's costumes and the women's costumes. And so, for instance, the Chinese men's jacket or coat is usually buttoned down the front, whereas the women's always buttoned to the side. And if someone doesn't point that out to them, a lot of times they would give a man a woman's coat and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about characters? You know, for example, were Chinese sometimes portrayed as the funny laundry man or the comic cook or, you know?
Well, I think, as far as I know, those portrayals were, most of the times I would say they were in good taste. Of course, in some of them, there probably was a lot of comedy mixed in with them. Of course, it's part of what the script calls for.
Did anybody you ever knew of protest about the way Chinese were portrayed in movies?
No, not that I know of.
Did you think that working in the movies, portraying a Chinese was a satisfying job?
Well, I suppose as far as the monetary side of it, I suppose it was satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Did most other actors feel the same way, do you think, actors and actresses?
I think so, otherwise they probably wouldn't be accept the call to work in pictures.
Mm-hmm. I heard somewhere that somebody said that there may have been 1 in 14 Chinese in L.A. who were involved in the movie industry. Do you think that's an accurate figure?
It seems to me like it isn't, because I don't think, considering the number of Chinese living in this area, I don't think there's enough work for that to sort of a ratio. The only times that I know of that there were large numbers of Asian people hired as extras to work in pictures were the years when they made these big pictures like Good Earth and The Lost Horizon, and pictures of that caliber where they had large street scenes that required a large number of people. A lot of calls for 500, 600 people a day. On those occasions, by then the ratio could have gone up. But ordinarily, it was very few jobs.
What would you say was an average number of jobs that you worked, you know, acting for a month or something? How many times did you go to?
Well, when I was working as an extra, over, say, a year's period of time, I would probably say the average maybe about 10 days a month.
Mm-hmm. Did you join any family associations?
No, I never did.
Did your parents join family associations?
No.
Do you know of anybody who joined family associations? Did they ever talk about what it was like?
Well, I don't know any offhand, but I'm sure there are some, because they have quite a number of different family associations, and the Wongs have theirs, and the Lee Family Association, and then there's a Chan Wu Association. So the different families and groups, they do have associations in practically any of the Chinatowns in this country. But I personally have never joined, and I don't know if anybody else has.
Is there any particular reason why we didn't join the associations?
No, there wasn't any particular reason. It's the same thing that when they had this Chinese American alliance for Chinese citizens of this country. And I was asked several times to join, but I had nothing against the alliance, but I just felt there was no need for me to join because I was a native born here. I'm already a citizen, so consequently I never joined.
Do you find that most of your involvement was with the non-Chinese community?
Well, as far as my business was concerned, it was all with the Caucasian people. I didn't do any business with China, the Chinese, because my business was strictly catering to the motion picture studios, which was all run by Caucasian people.
How about other friends that you associated with? Were they mostly Chinese, non-Chinese?
Or? Yes, they're mostly Chinese.
What percentage of the Chinese in L.A. do you think had adopted paper names? Was that a very common thing? Or?
What kind of name?
Paper D-Man.
You mean a fictitious name?
Right, right. Do you have any idea in just what the percentage
no,
was?
No, I don't have any idea.
Did you ever feel more Chinese or more American?
Well, I've always had a leaning towards Chinese because I guess an angry reason is because I know that I'm from Chinese ancestry, and I like Chinese food better than American food. People always kid me and say I have a Chinese stomach. Well, I think I have.
So that makes you Chinese. Do you ever feel sorry for being Chinese or embarrassed about being Chinese?
No, I haven't.
Do you ever have any disagreements with your parents about being Chinese or being American? For example, when you were younger and spent time playing baseball or whatever, and involved in things that were American rather than Chinese?
No, took things as they came along. Naturally, when we were all small before before our preschool years, when most of the kids spoke more Chinese at home than English. In fact, most of us didn't learn to speak English until we started to go to American school, and then we start picking up the English, and when we come home, when our parents would talk to us in Chinese, we would answer them in English. So this sort of thing continued until some of us would forget most of our Chinese, and that's why a lot of the native born speak very little Chinese, and they can understand more than they can speak it. But I was very fortunate that I retained my Chinese, and I can both understand it and speak it.
You mentioned last time that you went to Chinese school for about 4 or 5 years. What did you think about going to Chinese school? Did you like it, or did you?
Yes, I enjoyed it. I went for about 4 years and was able to write a plain letter, understandable, but rather proceeded to read it. And then after I left Chinese school, and then I seem to have no occasion to use the Chinese, especially the written language anymore. So in time, I just forgot how to write Chinese, with the exception of a few characters. I can still write my own name in Chinese. So the rest of it I forgot. I retain the speaking part, but when you don't use the written language, and you eventually, in time, you start to forget what's your dash and what's your cross, and you're going to miss these things, and you won't be able to make out any of the characters. And that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Why did you stop Chinese school after 4 or 5 years? Is it due to lack of time or money?
Yes, due to lack of time. And because we had to go from our house down to Chinatown. I used to ride a bicycle down to Chinatown to go to Chinese school, and then I'd get home about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and then I would have to study from my English school. And so as I got older, studies became a little more difficult. It required a little more time, so I just didn't have enough time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your father felt that he had family obligations and obligations in China? You know, when he was alive, for example, did he feel that a need to write letters back home, or did he also feel a need to send money back to family and relatives back in China?
The only relative that I knew that he corresponded with was his sister, who was still living back in the village, and I knew that he occasionally used to send her some money, and occasionally they would get a letter back and forth from each other. And she was the aunt that, when I went back to China and stayed in the village, she was the aunt that I lived with during my 4 or 5 months that I lived back there.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel any obligations to family in China when you were older? For example, to your aunt who was there? Or?
Well, yes, I appreciated that my aunt had done for me while I was back there. And after I returned to this country, she passed away a few years after when she passed away.
So you haven't really had to write letters or send money back to China yourself?
No, because we don't know, at least we don't know of any relationships that my father might have on his side, because this aunt was the only one that we ever knew and ever had contact with. So consequently, as far as we are concerned, we don't have any relatives back there in the villages that we know of. And if we do have any, we don't know who they are, and they don't know who we are. So consequently, there wouldn't be any use for me to go back to the village and try to find anybody, because we just wouldn't know each other or anything, so there's been no contact all these years.
Mm-hmm. How about other people who are second generation, like yourself? Do you know if any others write to relatives in China or send money back, considering that they were born here? And
yeah, well, I'm quite sure there are some, because they probably are the ones that have kept in contact with the relatives back then. And, so consequently, there's no cases where I would imagine that from time to time, especially on holidays or Chinese New Year's, where they would send the presents back to them.
Mm-hmm. Before the war, which were the most important Chinese families in Los Angeles?
Which one?
Before World War II.
Well, you said important. What did you mean?
Oh, influential, prominent, or active in the community, or...
Well, of course, I think the Wong Association, the Wong Family Association, they always, every year they always had a celebration, especially around Chinese New Year's time. And some of the other family associations did also, but it seems like the Wong family was always had a larger celebration than the others, because maybe that was at that time, it probably had more Wongs here than the others. And so that might account for it.
Mm-hmm. How about any important individuals? Did you consider any individuals to be prominent Chinese in L.A. before the war?
Well, there was a man named Fong Si. He was one of the pioneer Chinese in L.A. He was in the importing business. He probably was one of the first large importers that brought in Chinese merchandise to sell to this country. And the business is still flourishing, because it's carried on now by the grandchildren, I think. And they still have a store up in the Broadway Chinatown. So they've been in business for quite a long time. Period of time.
Mm-hmm. Any other pioneers you can think of?
Well, this Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee was father of Edward Lee. He was a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first Chinese dentist that I knew of in Los Angeles. He practiced down in the old LA Chinatown. And of course, way back in those days, Dr. Lee did not graduate from a dental college or dental school. And he learned the dentistry was when he was working for a Caucasian doctor. And that's how he learned dentistry. And afterwards, he opened an office in Chinatown. And he was, I think, as far as I can remember, I think he was the first dentist that I went to. And then later on, Dr. Lee had two sons, one named Edward and one named William, and they both were, I think they both graduated from USC Dental College. Dr. Edward Lee is still practicing. William, he passed away a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of jobs were most Chinese doing before the war?
Well, I think most of them worked in laundries, restaurants, and then, of course, way back in those days, there was a great deal more Chinese engagement in the farming, especially truck farming, than a few Chinese Mexicans. And now, there's very few Chinese engaged in farming, and there's a lot of engagement in the wholesale produce markets. And, of course, today there's not too many of them still left in that business. Nowadays, I think most of them are a lot more engaged in the restaurant business. And, of course, the Chinese now, they've branched out in a great number more businesses than what they used to have. Now they're in practically all types of businesses. Market businesses and groceries and restaurants. There's very few Chinese laundries now. And there's quite a number of travel agencies, and there's lawyers and architects, and plumbers and electricians, and radio and TV. So they're practically in most every field of endeavor nowadays.
But before the war, there probably were, do you think there were certain areas in employment where it was all Chinese, you know, or all non-Chinese?
Well, the only areas I could say of it, probably all Chinese would be like these hand laundries, and of course the restaurant. But the people hired would probably be all Chinese in those two businesses.
What do you think was an average income before the war?
The average income before the war would probably be, maybe around $75 a month, $7,500 a month.
And how did that compare with other expenses, food, rent?
Well, of course, people were able to get by in those days because of rent and food. Everything is much cheaper than it was today.
How much was rent if your salary was $75 a month, roughly?
In 1932, when I came back to Los Angeles from Imperial Valley, I rented a house, and I was paying $25 a month for a house there, a two-bedroom house. And of course, in those days, we could go to Chinatown, to the meat market in Chinatown, and buy boneless pork for 25 cents a pound. And we could buy a Chinese roast pork in Cha Siu for 35 cents a pound. And now, Cha Siu is about $2.50 a pound of shoe up your ceiling high. Of course, rents are out of sight. Everything is different now.
Yeah. With the $75 a month and then $25 going to rent, was there much left over to save?
Very little. Very little. Very little to save. Because the rest would take over. Clothing and all of it, it's about the expenses, so I don't know how they could save all that.
Do you think that the Chinese were affected by the Depression very much?
Oh yes, I'm sure that there were some of them affected, but of course the Chinese, it's sort of a tradition where the Chinese usually think of taking care of their own. Family ties were much closer than most other nationalities. So when someone had troubles or difficulties, they usually had some family numbers that come and sort of help out at times and over. Because even during those years, very seldom ever heard of any Chinese being on the relief rolls. Because, I guess because in the first place, they didn't like the idea, and then second, they usually had some members of the family life was close enough with other members that see some of them having different problems out and they sort of pitched in and helped out.
Mm-hmm. What do people do with money that they saved, do you think? Do you think they gambled it or put it in a safe deposit box or put it into a savings account?
I think there two sides to that. Those that were leading towards being thrifty, and those are the ones that save their money probably for some future use. Those that, especially the ones that were single, of course this also some of the people that were married and had families also were involved. But I think most of the single men, they sort of like to gamble because my mother used to tell us when we were small that the Chinese are the greatest gamblers on earth. You get two Chinese together and you've got a game going. So, and there was the Chinese, and there's no doubt the Chinese did love to gamble because there was quite a few gambling houses that were run wide open without any hindrance from the police. Because most of the gambling was done among the old people. The Chinese out there, the gambling houses, and the players were all Chinese. So, and maybe the policemen didn't feel it since they weren't hurting anybody except themselves. They left them alone. But I do know that there was gambling houses being operated, and they all seemed to be flourishing, so it must have been doing some business.
Mm-hmm. Do you know of any Chinese in L.A. who were involved in politics? For example, in supporting the revolution of 1911 in China?
No, I don't know. Of course, in that time, I was only 11 years old, so I was quite old enough for politics.
Mm-hmm. How about before World War II, you know, war relief, you know, to help out China? You know, people who were involved in that, doing things to aid China?
Well, undoubtedly there were some. In fact, there probably was quite a bit, because I think the revolution, you're speaking of Dr. Sun Yat-sen's revolution, I think that Dr. Sun Yat-sen's revolution did have probably quite a bit of support from the overseas Chinese, otherwise he probably wouldn't be able to do what he did. And I'm sure that among the Chinese, even though they may not come out and say so, inside their hearts, they probably, a lot of them had a leaning towards Sun Yat-sen and for what he was trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Was there hostility towards the Chinese before the war in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
In what ways?
Well, a lot of discrimination. Certain jobs even though the Chinese were qualified for them, they were not open to them. So there was a great deal of discrimination. I remember the time when you go to a movie and you couldn't sit downstairs, you buy a ticket. The ticket is supposed to be and put them downstairs, but they tried to go upstairs.
They had all the Chinese sitting upstairs, and for all the minorities upstairs? And
yes, that's any minority that came in, even though they bought a ticket, entitled to be able to sit on the main floor of the set, they were pointed to the stairways to go upstairs.
Did anyone ever protest or give them a hard give?
Well, there might have been some of the times that I went, I didn't see anyone protesting. But Chinese usually, you don't cause any trouble or make a fight over anything. They seem to just begrudgingly accept what they have to, what their feelings have to.
Mm-hmm.